نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, firstly make ma'afi, came late, stuck about half an hour in traffic. I don't think my wife gave me more bad du'as for my driving than today. But nonetheless, respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, in life today we all want to be successful. You ask any person, he's opening a shop. Why are you opening the shop? A friend of mine is relocating to Australia, so I asked him, what's your reason of relocating? He says, it's a better life. I hope to be more successful. Free education, free health. Everyone wants to be successful. But how often don't we find that a person, no matter how, has something which people don't like, and his entire empire with him crumbles to the ground. His whole lifetime of work is lost. So no matter how much wealth he got, it became irrelevant because of his action or because of his words. And for this reason, we go to the hadith of Sayyidina Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala, which comes in Tirmizi Sharif. He says, I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that man najat. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what is true success? In what is true salvation? Where I will get honor and respect in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and even in this world in the eyes of people. People must respect me, people must revere me. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives him a short and sweet answer. Something that is very short, three sentences. But a lifetime of effort is required to practice upon it. The first advice Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives him, he says, Amlik alayka lisana. Control your tongue. Control your tongue. Now, ulama mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlighted the tongue. When we look in the Hadith Sharif, sometimes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refers to the tongue, sometimes to the gaze, sometimes to the private part. One Hadith Nabi says, that person who guarantees me protection of his eye, what is between his jaws, meaning his tongue, and his private parts, I guarantee him Jannat. So ulama mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlights certain parts of a person's body. Because generally if he protects these parts, then his entire body will be protected. These are all linked. The gaze is linked to the private part. So a person looks at something haram, then he's going to go further than that. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, guard your tongue, protect your tongue, become the owner of your tongue. Why become the owner of your tongue? Malik means to own something. Ulama mentioned when a person hasn't uttered any words as yet, then he owns those words. As long as it is in his mouth he owns it. The moment he utters it, kana asiraha, he becomes a prisoner of his words. Either it will benefit him, either it will harm him. Either in his book of good deeds or his book of bad deeds on the day of Qiyamah, one of the two. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, guard the tongue. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, comes in Bukhari Sharif, he says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. The servant of Allah Ta'ala utters a single word. لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا. He utters a single word for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. It was solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Maybe he cheered somebody up. He visited someone in a hospital. He was a sick person. He cheered him up. Or he encouraged someone to do some good. He motivated somebody. La yulqi laha balan. Nabism emphasizes, he thought nothing of it. It was one of those things. He felt it as his duty. But it was for the pleasure of Allah. And Allah loved that word so much of his. And Nabism uses the word singular. A single word. Doesn't have to be a lot of words. But what outcome? يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَادَ رَجَاتٍ. Allah elevates this person. Allah raises this person in rank. But on the flip side, وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ. A person says one word that displeases Allah. Maybe he just picked on someone, he insulted someone. He mocked at someone's height, his weight, his financial status. La yulqi laha balan. The same condition Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, he thought nothing about his words. He regarded it as something very trivial, very light. But وَلَكِنَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمَةٌ لِقُبْحَا. Allama explained, Allah detested that one word of His. That one word of His. That one gesture of His. Lengthy narration, Sahabi, people come to, one person comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba seated with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when this person leaves, just going to the main point. So the Sahaba tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why didn't you indicate with your eyes to us? Why didn't you indicate with your eyes to us, we would have executed this person. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a Nabi doesn't make khiyanat of his eyes even. So maybe that one gesture of ours, that one word of ours, we mocked at that person, we laughed at that person. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Yahwi biha fi jahannam. Because of that one word of his, he'll be put into the fire of jahannam. He'll be thrown into the depths of jahannam. With our tongue, our tongue. But in this world itself, we witness the destruction that it can bring. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say that nothing deserves to be imprisoned longer than our tongues. He used to advise his tongue. He used to hold his tongue and advise his tongue. That, O tongue, if you will speak, then speak what is good. You will benefit. Wa illa taskut, otherwise keep quiet, taslam, you'll be safe. Otherwise you'll regret what you say. Everything we need our tongue. A person who doesn't have the ability to use his tongue, regard him as a disabled person. He can't carry out daily tasks that are very easy. He can't purchase something. Even to this point, to make nikah, a person requires his tongue, the ability to use his tongue. Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha. Even to give talaq. And even greater than that, when a person is coming into deen also, into Islam, he requires the ability of speech to take the shahadat. And Allah protects even when a person leaves deen also, generally leaves deen through his speech, through his ability of his tongue. How many times don't we see this? Where a person misused his tongue, and in this world he paid the price of it. There was a brother who came to me some time ago in Phoenix, and he says that, Mawla, my wife took a restraining order against me, and I want you to go and speak to them. You know that I know the family because the child is in the madrasa. Speak to her, and he started giving his commitments, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll put it right, whatever it is. So I took the message across, and I even said that I think it will be unfair, we all make mistakes, I think it's unfair if we don't give him a second chance. So he said, but he didn't tell you the other part of it, that he gave her 3 talaqs also. He said, now he can't do anything for you. So in this world, we will pay the price of it. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ultimately on the day of Qiyamah, we'll pay the greatest price on the day of Qiyamah. The narration comes in Muslim Sharif, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, Nabi Sallam asked Sahaba, oh my Sahaba, do you know who's a bankrupt person? So Sahaba said, that person who has no gold, no silver, no rands and dollars, the currency. He has no assets. Nabi Sallam said, no. He may not have wealth in this world, but he's not a truly bankrupt person. Inna al-muflisa min ummati mayati yawm al-qiyamah. The bankrupt person of my ummah is that person who will come on the day of Qiyamah. يَأْتِي بِصَلَاتٍ وَسِيَامٍ وَزَكَاتٍ. He'll have salah to his name, fasting to his name, sadaqah and khairat to his name, hajj and umrah after umrah to his name. Every good to his name. In other words, you would have thought this person is guaranteed jannat. وَلَكِنْ قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَدَفَ هَذَا وَأَكَلَ مَعَلَ هَذَا. But he insulted this person. He backbited that person. He usurped the right of that orphan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah will obliterate his mountain of good deeds on Qiyamah. Everything will get washed away. Eventually, when there's nothing left, the sins of these people will be taken, put upon him, and he'll be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So this tongue, respected elders and friends, Sobhan radiallahu anhu's narration, he says, we were with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on Safar, when the ayat of the Quran was revealed. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرُهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, those that are hoarding gold and silver, they're not discharging the obligation. Give them glad tidings of a painful punishment. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was the beauty of Sahaba. They said, O Nabi of Allah, لو علمنا أي المال خيرا لاتخذنا. If this is not true wealth, then what is true wealth? We'll keep that, we'll hoard that. So Nabi Sallam said, أَفْضَلُهُ لِسَانٌ zakirun. The best wealth a person can have is a tongue that is in the remembrance of Allah. A tongue that is not ghafil of Allah. That tongue will not make mishaps and blunders. You won't have to apologize later. وَقَلْبٌ شَاكِرٌ A heart that is grateful for the bounties of Allah. A heart that is grateful. If we're not grateful for what we have now, what makes us feel we'll be grateful to Allah when He gives us what we desire? And the third point Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَزَوْجَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ تُعِينُهُ عَلَىٰ إِيمَانِهِ A pious and a righteous wife who will help a person in his iman and his deen. One is his akhirat will get made, his dunya also will become beautiful. 2 years back, our Jamaat was in Free State, our Phoenix Students Jamaat. And brothers, make maaf, I come from Phoenix. There's no diplomacy when we talk. It's a discussion. So the message is for myself first, you know, to feel offended. So one brother was taking me to the shop to get some groceries, whatever it was. So he's telling me that, Mawlana, I'm remarried now. He's remarried. And he was married for about 45 years to his first wife. So I asked him, so what happened to his, you know, she passed away. So I asked him, so how was the transition period? Now from the first wife to the second wife. And this one is a young one from what he said. General reply we hear in these situations, no, but, you know, nobody can be like the first one. And her shoes no one can fill and whatever you hear people talk later. But that was not his reply. Either this wife is really nice to him or they had a very bad first marriage. So his reply was, he says, Mawlana, this wife, she is Jannatul Firdaus. I say, Subhanallah. Never heard anyone compliment his wife with that. That one I have to take back home with me. So if we have that wife, then we'll get our Jannat on earth. That was by the way. So Nabi Sallam gives him that advice. And then the second advice, Nabi Sallam says, Amlik alayka lisanak wal yasa'ka baytuk. Let your home suffice you. Let your home be sufficient for you. Now ulama give different explanations. One is make your home a place of solitude where you worship Allah Ta'ala. But one explanation, وَاَتِزَالٌ فِي بَيْتِكَ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ Separate yourself from all the difficulties, tests and trials and fitnas that they are outside your home. Don't bring it into your home. In other words, in that time, when a person came into his home, he was protected from every fitna that is outside his home. That is why one hadith Nabi Sallam said, when a person is tempted outside, come home. Your wife got nothing less to give you in the house. So close the door of sin. Close the door on sin of your home. In other words, everything must be left outside. Don't bring those fitnas and those evils inside your home. Our ulama mentioned, make your home a place of iman together with amal. That your home must become your fort, must become your sanctuary for the hifazat of your iman and the iman of your children, grandchildren and so on. And that will only come when there is amal in the home. That is the home Nabi Sallam is talking about, not our homes. Not our homes. There was a sister at my gate some time ago, about 5-6 years ago. I'm sharing this for Ibrat, for lesson. So she says she was completely bashed up. So she says, well, my husband, I went to the house because I know the husband. So I asked him what happened. This was the outcome. So he says, we're having an argument. And the argument was not over what he was doing wrong. The argument was not over what he was doing wrong. She says, every single night without fail, my husband watches pornography the entire night. But he watches it in the room together with our daughter, 7-year-old, 8-year-old child in my maktab. She's sleeping in the same room. This is Phoenix. Maybe we can't understand it, but we see this. Many a times we see homes where two families rent in one home. So when we see this, we'll make shukr for what Allah has given us. Today my two sons have to have their own rooms. There are two families in one. So the whole family living in one room. So she says that I'm telling him at least watch it outside the room. What if her eyes open? These are the conditions of the homes. One child in a madrasa, we caught him with cigarettes a few times. So I told my sati on Gush, let's just stop at the house. We speak to the father. Pull his socks up a bit. It'll become a problem. Allah is my witness. The father, we even knocked on the gate. He's coming to open the gate, completely drunk. We're talking about small things. Talking about small things. Now this might not be my home or your home. And we say, no, maybe this is there. It doesn't happen in our communities. When we talk to ulama, it's entered every community. And what are we doing to protect our homes? Make it environments of deen that 5 years, 10 years from now, or my children's home, this must not be their condition. This must not be the condition of their home. There were two children in a madrasa, and they're having a debate, and I'm listening in on their discussion, they're debating each other, 8 years, 9 years of age. And they're not debating over some game or some toy. They are debating whether their mother is a Muslim or not, based on what they learned in the classroom. So the one is saying, no, mommy is not Muslim, because she drinks, Muslim don't drink, she doesn't cover herself. And the others say, no, she's Muslim, she's Muslim. And they're debating them, presenting arguments. Even the children cannot distinguish whether their parent is a Muslim or not. So he says, it's not my home. But our child is busy in the room, he doesn't go out of the... But he's gaming with an overseas friend who's not Muslim. This is a reality. There's a child in the classroom, grade 5 learner. I heard it with my own ears. So he's explaining to another child about Isa alayhi salam. So he's telling, I'm saying this for lesson. So he's telling that learner that Isa alayhi salam, na'uzu billah, died on the cross. Na'uzu billah. So ask me, where you heard this? This is wrong. This. So he says, I go to play by my friend. They got a frame. And my friend's father told me, that person on that frame is your prophet Isa. Wal-iyazu billah. So when we will not make our homes environment of deen, then the child, whatever he heard, whatever he saw, will get corrected in the home. And Allah protect, if it was not corrected, then his entire life, he may be walking around with the belief of kufr in his heart. And this is a reality, respected elders and friends. Leave small children, even big people will fall. When our homes are not environment of deen. When all the filth that is outside, we bring it in our home, with the technology that has gone so advanced. There's a brother in my community. His children are in the madrasa, doing very well. Every day they see that youngster in my class. And this brother is a good person. Allah knows best what happened to him. So one day I go to visit him. And he says, well, now I've become an atheist. Ask him from where this came. From where this came. So he says, I've been watching these videos, whatever it is. And eventually now I got some doubts in my heart. Even we cannot trust ourselves, respected brothers and friends. We cannot trust ourselves. When this brother was dying last year, he told his wife, phone one of these two ulama. He wanted to clarify, I want to take the shahadat again. One missed the call, one went to the wrong address. The system of Allah, he died without iman. If we will not do what it takes to protect ourselves, protect our children, that Allah protects, that must not be our condition 10, 15 years from now. We may say these are isolated incidents. It's not isolated. Once upon a time, these were homes that had iman in them. And today, our homes are the same. We're heading there. So the second advice, Nabi Sallam says, "Wal yasa'aka baytuk," let your home be sufficient for you. Let your home suffice you. Close the door on sin. And the third advice, Nabi Sallam says, now that you've tried to protect yourself, you've looked after every organ of your body. You've made your home a place of safety and security. But then you will make mistakes. You are human. Kullu bani Adam khata'un. Every son of Adam is a sinner. Only Anbiya wa ma'asum. And ulama explain that Anbiya wa ma'asum, that too for a reason. Because Allah made Anbiya that ittiba is to be made of them. You have to follow them in every aspect of their lives. So if Anbiya sinned also, we have to make ittiba of them. So Allah made them ma'asum. So only Anbiya were ma'asum. So Nabi Sallam says, now, after you've tried, not you sin, and then you say, no, Allah will forgive. وَلَيْسَتِ تَوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّيَّاتِ. Why? Because eventually the tawfiq of tawbah will get taken away also. But after you've tried, now if you fell, then Allah says, Nabi says, cry in repentance. Turn to Allah in repentance. Allah will forgive the sin. Allah will wipe away the sin. One hadith, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow an evil deed with a good deed. It will wipe out the evil deed. What better good deed than tawbah? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, I'll end on this incident. There was a drought in his time, very severe drought. So he comes out with Bani Israel, plus minus 600,000 of Bani Israel, to make Salatul Istisqa, to ask Allah Ta'ala for rain. So they come out, they bring the elderly, the children, everyone. So Allah Ta'ala tells him, O Musa, there is one person amongst you who for 40 years consecutively has been disobeying me. Because of him, I'm holding back the rain. Tell him to leave, I will send the rain. So Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, that Allah, so many people, how am I going to get the message to them? Today we say, but there's so much of irtidad, people turning against Islam around us. How many people not reading Salah? What difference am I going to make? So if we were sitting down to eat after a full day and our wife made the best dish, what we love, now we just sat down to eat, we're about to put that morsel in our mouth, and you get a phone call, your neighbor opposite the road is being hijacked, or you just got robbed. What's our immediate reaction? Today, you take the firearm and start running. Or whatever you can do. So wife will say, no, but eat first. Say, no, let me go and see what's happening. The most that will happen, if he had iman, he'll get shahadat, he'll pass away, he'll lose his life. But my neighbor opposite the road, my friend, whoever he is, he's not reading salah. He's not attached to the masjid. He's not taking part in the program. What effort am I making for him? Yeah, we can't stop the crime in the whole country. But yet I'll try to go there, maybe make a difference in his life. So what about his akhirat? What about his jannat? What about the akhirat of his children? So Musa alayhi salam asked, Allah, how am I going to get the message to them? So Allah says, Ya Musa, alayka nida wa alayna al-balagh. Your job is only to make the announcement. My work is to take it to their ears. So Musa alayhi salam makes the announcement. He says, oh, that sinner who has wronged himself for 40 years and disobeyed Allah Ta'ala, leave. Leave. Because of you, Allah is holding back the rain. It was barely a brief moment, the narration says, that the clouds came and it started pouring. But nobody left. The narration says, when this person heard the announcement of cutting it short, he looked to his right, he looked to his left, he saw no one left. And then he realized, Allah is talking to me. I am the culprit. So he put his head into his kurta. For a brief moment, you know, say in the 11th hour things changed. We got the ticket in the 11th hour. He made the tawbah in the 11th hour also. But very brief, that Allah, don't disgrace me in front of the Nabi of this time and in front of my nation. And Allah wiped his slate free. Such a tawbah he made. This is tawbah. So Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, that Allah, now that you have forgiven this person, whoever he is, show me who he is. What a tawbah he made. So Allah says, O Musa, for 40 years when he disobeyed me, I never exposed him to you. Now that he has become, respected elders and friends, this is the Allah that we have, and this is the tawbah that we need to make. May Allah give me and you one and all the understanding to bring these beautiful advices of Nabi Sallam into our lives. Protect ourselves, protect our tongues, protect our organs. Make our homes environment of deen, iman and amal. And if we do slip up, we commit some wrong, then immediately turn to Allah in repentance.